Okay. Well, listen, thanks a lot for your call, and we always appreciate hearing from you. Let's move along here to Mark on a car phone. Mark?
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I got to tell you, I'm a frequent listener and oft times even a fan. I am so excited about this new time slot. I've never called before, but I got to call and talk to you about it.
Okay.
Can you imagine? You and I are about the same age, so when I use the phrase totally outside their experience, you'll know what I mean, because that's a 60s phrase.
Right.
When somebody tunes in next Monday at 9 o'clock and expects to hear Jim Rogers talking with whatever buffoon dog psychologist he has on that particular night and gets you doing the voiceover on Viva Las Vegas instead, it's going to be too much.
It's going to be different.
And can you imagine the same person tuning in 3 or 4 hours later and expecting to hear some discourse and getting you in Seabiscuit? I can hardly wait.
It's going to be nice.
It's just absolutely unbelievable. When I heard it, I got so excited last week. I was sitting in Hudson reading the newspaper that you got the new time slot, and I just couldn't believe it. While I got you on, let me tell you another thing. You know, you're talking about Hussein, and I just listen to the caller, and I get so tired of that trilateral commission stuff. But
right.
But the point that I was going to make, you know, if he's the evil person and he's the one that needs to go, you know, the way to do it is in airstrikes against radar facilities.
Mm-hmm.
I frankly believe that if we turned the Israelis loose, the Mossad would have him dead by 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. They'd make it look like he slipped on a bar of soap in the shower.
Yeah.
But we don't do that.
No.
You know?
No.
We don't do it, which is kind of a subset on the CIA thing you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know whether you want to talk about that. I was interested in that, and that's really the reason why I called the CIA business. Is it necessary? Of course it's necessary. I mean, project yourself ahead and assume that Clinton is going to do something in Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Mm-hmm.
You know? What's he going to call up the president of Serbia and say, by the way, where are your radar installations?
Yeah. What's the deal here? Can you just kind of lay it out for me?
He's not going to do that. That's what the CIA does. And in that sense, they're absolutely necessary.
See, I think maybe we agree on this, but I think the CIA serves a tremendous purpose in this country. The information that people cry out for, that they think they deserve, that this Freedom of Information Act decrees that we have now, I'm not seeing it. I mean, I think we have to do certain things under the cover of darkness that help perpetuate national security in this country.
Do you remember the film 3 Days of the Condor with
right.
Robert Redford?
Yeah.
Remember Cliff Robertson at the end when Robert Redford's standing in front of the New York Times and he says, I gave him the story, and he says, you poor fool. He said, when people are hungry and cold in their homes and they've got no heat, all they're going to want us to do is get it for them. They're not going to want to know how we did it.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And to a degree, I think you're probably right. It pains me sometimes to think that we have to be subterranean like that, but perhaps we do.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. And I think that the perpetuation of the CIA is an important thing.
I agree with you, too.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, join us here 2 weeks from Monday. And
is it 2 weeks? I'm sorry, it isn't Monday.
It's not next Monday, it's the following Monday.
I wouldn't miss it. I can hardly wait. You are going to, shrinks everywhere the next day are going to get calls from people wondering what in the world happened. But it'll be good for them. It will be outside their experience, but it'll be good for them.
I hope so.
Talk to you later.
All right, Mark, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Night Talk with Dark Star on WCCO Radio. Let's go to Roger in North Minneapolis. Roger?
Good morning, Dark.
Good morning.
Going to miss you on the third shift here.
Well, where do you work?
All over.
Oh, you're on the move at night.
Well, I have a shop in Corcoran and a shop in North Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm. What kind of shop?
Sculpturing.
Yeah, great.
You, fine art.
Yeah, what's the name of the business?
R.M. Brodine Studios.
Okay, all right. What do you do there now?
It's basically military and police figures, anything from small things to large monuments.
Yeah.
The Monument to Living in front of the Capitol is mine.
Is that right? Huh. I wasn't aware of that. That's very nice.
He stands 12 feet tall and he's looking at the Capitol and he shrugs his shoulders.
Right. Right.
And that's the reason I'm calling tonight.
Okay.
Is, you and I are both Vietnam veterans.
Right.
And something's happened with our military since after we won World War II.
Right.
We went into Korea and into Vietnam and into the Gulf. We're violating all the rules of warfare. Imagine if we would have bombed Guadalcanal and Tarawa and some of those islands and left, we'd have a Japanese flag over the capital today.
Right.
I mean, if we're going to get into war, the first thing, it should be totally justified.
Mm-hmm.
There should be a purpose, a reason, a mission. And this bombing and strafing should only, it should soften it up, you know, for the infantry to go in and take it over.
Right.
Occupy it. The Allies bombed Germany. They bombed them and bombed them and bombed them. And then the infantry moved in,
mm-hmm,
and took it. And if they wouldn't have had the infantry come in, you know, D-Day at Normandy, we might have a swastika over the capital today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like, you know, when I was in boot camp, I had a scrap with another guy, and I beat him. Then, he gave up, yelled on calling. I reached down to help him pick, reach my hand out.
Yeah.
I was helping him stand up, and he cold cocked me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're going to fight somebody, you got to, totally beat him. I had to beat this guy again. And that's what we do with Saddam Hussein. We just we knock him down, and we help him up, and he messes with us. We'll knock him down again, and I don't know. There's got to be some other motives.
Yeah.
Much higher up than you or I.
Mm-hmm. Where did you go to boot camp?
San Diego.
Yeah.
I'm a Hollywood Marine.
Ooh. Camp Pendleton?
MCRD San Diego first, and then Camp Pendleton.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. I think that let's put an end to all this so that we don't have to deal with it again.
Either
and again,
step out.
And again.
Yeah.
Can't step out. Got too much at stake there. You know? I mean, let's be realistic. This oil thing, we're tied in there. Too deeply, probably, for our own good.
You can't draw lines in the sand. Like, we still got a couple 100,000 troops sitting on the 38th parallel in Korea.
Right.
I mean, it's just never over. Chesty Pollard would roll over in his grave tonight.
38th parallel.
Still there.
Yeah. Every time I think about that, when I was in Vietnam, the ROC Marines, were Korean Marines, would come, and there were a couple guys that spoke English, and talk a little bit about that, and they said, we asked them, how long do you think we'll have troops in Korea? And they said, as long as there's Korea.
Yeah.
and just kind of left it at that. There's no room for, there's no end to it. I mean, it doesn't end. It just doesn't end. So, I don't know. I think we have to find a way to get to some conclusions eventually,
Well, one of the problems I see is that we have staff officers running the war from, thousands of miles away.
Yeah.
They should be right there in the front line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't know the heart and soul of the PFC in private,
This business about keep me updated.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't work, as you know and as I know. But what are you going to do, Let's just hope that this thing works itself out.
Well, it can, because as soon as we quit bombing him, he'll come out of his hole and do it all over again.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Listen, Roger, thanks for your call. Now, what's the name of your company again?
Brodine Studios.
Brodine Studios. And the two cities?
Minneapolis and Corcoran.
Okay, Minneapolis and Corcoran. All right. Now, Corcoran, is that up Highway 101 there?
It's right by Maple Grove.
Yeah. But do you have to go up Highway 101 to get there?
County Road 30 is the easiest.
Okay. All right.
Right around County Road 30 and 101.
Okay. All right, I know where that is. All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Appreciate it, Roger.
Yeah, Semper Fi.
Bye-bye. Let's go to John Mound. John?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was listening to you about the CIA there.
Yeah.
I think they've got way too much power.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I mean, there's no checks and balance.
Right.
It's just getting way out of hand.
Yeah. Well, it's better now than if that's your posturing. It's a whole lot better now than it was 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, but how do we know?
Well, they're we get a whole lot more information about the CIA and what they do now than we ever did
before.
Or
what they want you to know.
Well, yeah, I suppose you know.
I mean, how much do you really believe?
I believe half of what I read in the newspaper, half of what I hear on the radio, and 100% of what somebody tells me that's first-hand information, the working knowledge, and take my trust and put it in that.
Yeah, I hear you. No, I, you know, this whole deal with Iraq, I think it's more than just oil. I think it's a lot of somebody's making a whole lot of money on weapons. And it just keeps going and going and going and going.
War machine.
Yeah.
Same thing that happened in Vietnam. Basically,
right.
War, the big business sold the war to the military, and the military forced the politicians into it, and that was pretty much the way it all got started.
Yeah, I was listening that one night when you got that, what was it, the Manila envelope?
Right.
I bet I lost a couple hours of sleep on that. Can you imagine if we could just pump in the water right out of the garden hose?
Into the engine and go?
No, into the tank.
Yeah.
And break it down into hydrogen and oxygen.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
We can do that, you know.
I know.
It's and I'll tell you what, I don't have a degree in engineering, but when we looked at the plans, it was, and I don't know how much I should really talk about this, because we've
yeah, I hear you.
You know the deal.
Yeah.
But
somebody suppressed it.
It was pretty basic. It was a pretty basic scenario, you know. And the government has suppressed this patent to the point where they're totally inconveniencing the entirety of the population to protect the oil industry and the automotive business.
I mean, we've got technology that, you know, to burn propane, and I don't see how there'd be that much difference. You know,
we've got technology that would allow vehicles to run on water.
Right.
250 miles to the gallon. And, you know, I read the whole thing from cover to cover, and it works. They've done it. They have the vehicles. They've tested them. And these machines have been in place for 15 years. 20 years.
That brings me back to, you know, why is what's the big deal on the oil? Somebody's snowing us here.
Absolutely. No
okay.
question about it.
Who do you think is doing that?
I would have to believe that the politicians are held at gunpoint by lobbyists and big business.
You know, I think there's a whole lot more going on than anybody even knows about.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Or could even imagine.
There's no question about that. I kind of felt that way anyway, but when we received these documents, it really opened my eyes, I'll tell you that. I mean, it was scary. It really was.
Yeah.
I mean, I just couldn't believe it, you know?
I sat up probably 2 hours just, you know, because you just kind of hinted at what was going on. I thought, okay, let's see. What would, okay, yeah, you could probably do that. And I was just going through it in my mind. I was like, yeah, why hasn't anybody done this?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, somebody has. But, you know, I mean, it does allow you to ask yourself, what else can we do that we aren't allowed to?
You know, the other thing is, how much money does the CIA spend? I mean, it's coming out of our pockets. We talk about the deficit, and
mm-hmm.
then we've got no idea of how much these guys are spending.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just totally out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it goes back to the JFK assassination. You know, ever since that period of time, it's just skyrocketed.
If I had to bet my last dollar, I would bet my last dollar that the CIA assassinated Kennedy.
I would, too.
I mean, I there's really not much doubt in my mind. I think it goes back to the Bay of Pigs, and they felt as a group that they had to make that statement, and they made it. And I think that there are a lot of people who know that have working knowledge of it, and it's a strange thing. Listen, I got to get going to the news here, Johnny.
Have a good evening.
I appreciate your call.
Bye-bye.
Here's Kurt Lundgren.